This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome, welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. A very happy Thursday to you. The weekend is almost here. Hope you're having a great day. Well, we're going to talk today about those aha moments, those moments when you suddenly touch the Lord, where He touches you, and you come into an encounter with Him in a way that changes you, in a way that nourishes you, in a way that makes you look up. Sometimes God encounters bring even conviction. In fact, on Facebook, I always ask a question related to the show. Today I said, when was the last time you had a sudden God moment? What happened? And Judy Ann wrote, well, last evening about 10:45 p.m., while reading an excerpt from a new book, I had a sudden aha God revelation about a particular stumbling stone and why I was in a funk about it. Quite revealing. God will always clue us in about what is troubling us. I'm still surprised about what I discovered. Isn't that amazing? And in fact, Tim, you were talking this morning about your quiet time and you felt like God was saying something to you, but you didn't know what.
Yeah,
I think that's sort of funny. And it's funny when you hear what He says. Go ahead and share what you just felt like you got out of the Word this morning.
Yes, I did. And I do a devotion with both the Old Testament and New Testament passages. And the passages were so parallel this morning. It was amazing. But the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, where Gideon meets the angel of the Lord, and he tells him to bring a sacrifice. And Gideon brings the sacrifice and sets it on the rock and everything like that. And the angel just causes
consumes
fire.
It.
Yeah, consumes it. And Gideon, the next phrase is, it says, and Gideon perceived it was the angel of the Lord. Well, first of all, that cracked me up.
Yeah.
And just how perceptive of him.
Yeah.
And then, the fact that we need to listen to God's voice. And in the New Testament, it was the passage right after Jesus is rejected by his family and friends in Nazareth. And right following that, he meets the demoniac. And at that point, the demons say, we know who you are. And I thought, how amazing that Luke would put those two things back to back, that we know the angels or the demons know who Jesus was, but his family and friends didn't recognize him and didn't recognize his voice. So I was just trying to figure out what Lord, are you trying to tell me here?
Mm.
You know, do I need to spend more time just sitting and listening to you? Mm. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Is there something I need to do more to recognize your voice?
You know, from the outside looking in, as you're relaying the stories, you're saying, boy, it sure is obvious in these stories who Jesus is. And it's not always the case where it's like when someone is on the outside looking in, looking even at our story unfolds, can say, I can see miracles happening all around you. Mm-hmm. But we get so immersed at times in our pain and our discomfort, our insecurities, we can so miss him.
Yeah.
But he's always speaking, you know?
And one of the amazing things is that I think a part of the problem with his family and friends was they were so familiar with him.
Yeah. That's
and
a good point.
How can we get too familiar with God to know who he is?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think that's one of the reasons it's really great to start out our prayers telling God who he is. So our own souls hear it. You are high and lifted up. You are Father. You are Lord of lords. You are King of all kings and General of all generals. You know, whenever I begin my prayers like that, it's like I put him in his rightful place, and it helps me then remember my place before him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to Sharon Janes today about her book, A Sudden Glory, God's Lavish Response to Your Ache for Something More. And she says this, the good news is that something more does not mean doing more. God wants to be with you right where you are. And the real question really is not what does God want from you, but rather what does God want for you? As I said, Sharon Janes is my guest today, and we're talking about her book, A Sudden Glory, God's Lavish Response to Your Ache for Something More. Let me tell you about her, and we'll get her on the show. Sharon is an international conference speaker and author of 17 books. She's served as vice president and radio co-host of Proverbs 31 Ministries for 10 years. She's a popular guest on Christian radio and television programs such as Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss, Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, and Focus on the Family. She's the co-founder of Girlfriends in God, a ministry that crosses denominational and generational and racial boundaries to bring the body of Christ together. You can learn more about her on the web at SharonJanes.com. Sharon, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me. me.
Yes. Well, we like to start out our interviews talking scripture, wondering if there's a verse, a life verse that you have, or if something the Lord's been speaking to you, just like Tim shared. Is there a verse that's been jumping out to you these days?
Well, the verse that's been jumping out to me is Acts 17:28, and we're going to be chatting about that a little bit more. But when I actually wrote the book, that was the verse that God had me in for an entire year. It's "In Him we live and move and have our being." And I don't know if most people realize it, but you write a book, you finish it, you turn it in, and then you don't see it again for quite a while before it comes out. So the book just came out last week, and God's got me back in that verse again. So I'm just immersed in just what that means, to "In Him we live and move and have our being." That's what it says in the NIV. The New American Standard says, "In Him we live and move and exist." And I just love that.
Say more about it, Sharon, why that speaks to you so much.
Well, I had actually finished another project about 2 years ago, and I don't know how it is with you, but when I finish a big project and I say, "Okay, Lord, what's the next thing? What are we going to do now?" And I had that feeling of, you know, I finished a project, sent it off, and then asked God, "What do you want me to do next?" I sat down, it was in January, the very beginning of the year, sat down with in my quiet time with the Lord, just read my Bible, did my prayer, you know, expecting God to just tell me what He wanted me to do next, and just got up to get ready to tackle the day. Didn't really hear anything from Him until I got ready to get up, and I just felt God speaking to me and just telling me to be still. And I had been so busy, honestly, for the past 25 years, just going from one project to the next and one deadline to the next, and felt like I was working so hard. But honestly, I was still feeling sort of empty inside. And God sat me back down. I mean, when He said, "Sit down, I want you to sit down and just listen," that whole picture came in my mind of the disciples on that Sea of Galilee. And they were caught in that storm, just going from one big wave to the next. And you know what? I began to see myself in that boat. And I saw myself with those disciples just being tossed back and forth in a storm. And then as I zoomed in on that picture, I just pondered that picture, I realized that it wasn't just the disciples in that boat with me, but it was women. And it was women from all walks of life. And God began to bring to mind other women that I had received emails from, women who were working so hard and trying so hard, and many trying hard in their relationship with the Lord, but feeling like they were just caught in a storm. Just something wasn't quite right. And I had that picture, and I said, "Lord, what is it? You know, how to," just like you were talking earlier about, you know, I know you're talking to me. You know, what are you trying to say? And what He began to show me, this verse, that one I just told you, Acts 17:28, came to mind. And listen, it was not on my radar. I had not thought about that verse. I know God put it there. It was one of those God moments, what I now call sudden glory moments. "In Him we live and move and have our being." And I felt like God was saying to me that morning, "I want you to just stop right there. I want you to think about that verse for a year. I want you to ponder the verse." So you know what? I didn't start any big writing projects for a year. I just camped out on that verse and meditated on that verse. And God began to show me so much about how, and just understanding what it really means to live and move and have my being in Him, how that will calm that storm in me, and how when I live and move and have my being in God, in Christ, that He begins to show me those moments of sudden glory. And I love what you just said a few moments ago about sometimes we get so familiar we won't see it. And as soon as you said that, I thought about Moses when he was in the wilderness taking care of those sheep. And he went over and he saw the burning bush. And God did speak to him. And He said, "Moses, Moses." But then He said to Moses, "Take off your sandals, because where you're standing is holy ground." And as you talked about how it is so important for us to acknowledge who God is at the beginning of our prayer, and then we'll start to expect to hear from Him, God was reminding Moses who He was. You know, "I want you to know I'm going to talk to you. Yes, you might be my friend, but you've got to remember I'm a holy God, and I've got something to say to you." So that's kind of that wasn't anywhere in the book. That just came to me right this moment listening to you guys talk. But that's how God works, isn't it?
You know, sure, sometimes
we'll hear somebody talking about something, and God begins to speak to our heart about it.
Yeah.
And another thing I've noticed that He does in my life is, you know, I will hear you talking about it, and God will bring something to mind, he'll begin to speak to me about it. And then tomorrow I might turn on my computer and there's a devotion about the very same thing.
Yeah.
And God tends to remind us about something until we get it. And that's what he did for an entire year as I camped out in Acts 17:28.
That's so good. One of my nephews is a grown man, husband, father now, but he was the biggest klutz as a little toddler, and he would walk in between his parents, and it was like he walked sideways more than he walked forward, and you'd almost always hear him go, whoa, like, because he was always on his way to tripping up, and his parents were kind of like bumpers to keep him on his feet. And I remember watching that and feeling like, I bet that is what I look like in the spiritual realm at times. I've got bumper angels on each side bumping me back on the path, because I don't think we have any idea how much the Lord guides us and leads us and graces us in spite of ourselves. And I love the whole idea. I mean, my life verse is Psalm 116:9, and so I walk in his presence as I live here on earth. So it's such a beautiful, beautiful thought. Well, I'm talking to Sharon Janes today about her book, A Sudden Glory, God's Lavish Response to Your Ache for Something More. I've got three copies to give away. Here's my question for you, unless you've got a question for our guest today. When's the last time you had a God moment where he spoke to you, he touched your heart, you just knew you had encountered the living God? And Sharon talks about in the book, you can find that, you know, where you encounter him in the Word, you encounter him in the smile countenance of a friend or a child, in a sunrise, in an experience. I would love to hear your story. We've got three copies to give away. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, otherwise email Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. I want to go back to that statement that I did the introduction with from your book. You say, too often we ask the wrong question, not what do you want from us, but God, what do you have for us? That should be the question. Say more about that, Sharon.
Well, I think, God, what do you want from me is one of the main questions that we tend to ask God when we come to Christ. And so many times we think, you know, we come to the Lord, we accept Christ, and we have that excitement and that thrill and almost that romantic encounter with Jesus. But then before you know it, I think what I see in a lot of people's lives, actually most people's lives, we start getting busy. And when we get busy and we start working for God and we get caught up in this routine religion and even our quiet times. I mean, yes, we need to do that. I mean, I couldn't start my day without it. However, if that is just part of my checklist, if it's just something that I'm doing, it becomes a routine in my life and I'm not taking that time to have an intimate time with the Lord, you know, that can become a religious duty, and we miss the romance of it all. And I think that's so many times we come to God, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And God's saying, listen, I just want to have a relationship with you. I want to be with you. And that's what I so want people to experience. And again, it goes back to in him we live and move and have our being. See, that means all of life, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean we're doing work for God at a particular time. We're having our quiet time, and then we go leave that quiet time and we go about doing our daily activities. No, that means that, you know, yes, we spend that time with God in the morning, but it doesn't stop there. It continues as we go to work, we do our laundry, we wash the dishes, we take care of our families. And I talk about in the book how we need to separate the spiritual activities and the secular activities, and how that, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us to separate those. But when you practice in him we live and move and have our being, or your life verse, as you walk in God's presence, that's a continual process. It happens, you know, it's all throughout our day. And I think that's one reason we don't hear God speaking to us, because, you know what, if you leave the spiritual and you move over and you start getting busy in the secular, you're not expecting God to necessarily talk to you while you're at work or while you're in the corporal line or while you're going about your daily activities, unless you're walking in his presence at all time.
Mm.
And you erase that line that we tend to draw that separates the secular and the sacred.
Mm. Very good. Well, you know, Frank just called, he's a good friend of the show, and he quotes Ecclesiastes 3:11, that he's placed eternity, he has set eternity in the hearts of man. And then he says God's revelations to us occur in science, medicine, spiritual things, relationships, and he's everywhere. The earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. Sharon, talk about a glory ache. Define what you mean there.
Well, it goes right back to what Frank just said. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has planted, or his version says, set eternity in our hearts. And I believe that every single person is born with that knowing that there's got to be something more. I mean, there's that glory ache that we have, and that glory ache, and I call the glory ache a persistent longing to experience God on a daily basis. I mean, that's my definition, persistent longing to experience God on a daily basis. And we all have that. Now, what happens is people might not know what that ache is. They know they've got to ache for something more, so they begin to fill it with other things. They try to soothe that glory ache with people, with relationships, with money, with things, with jobs, with power. They try to fill it with all different kinds of things, but that ache is never going to be solved or soothed with anything else except God. He planted eternity in our hearts, and he is the only one who can help us when it comes to that glory ache. Now, I don't think that glory ache is going to ever totally go away until we leave this earth and we are in God's presence in eternity. But I believe that God gives us moments of sudden glory where he will soothe that glory ache by revealing glimpses of his presence while we're here on earth. And that is through a word, or through a sunset. It's when we have those little moments when God speaks to us, or when God makes himself known to us. You know, that word glory is just kind of a big word. It's hard to get our little human minds around. But I just boil it down really simply. Is glory is how God makes his presence known. And we see that through the Old Testament, how he made his presence known in a fire and in a cloud by day, and how he made his presence known as the angel that you talked about earlier to Gideon. But he makes his presence known to us too, but we just have to pay attention. We have to be looking for them. And when he makes his presence known to us, those are what he gives us to help us with that glory ache until we leave earth and go to heaven and we are in eternity and that ache is totally finally gone.
Hmm. I love that he reveals himself to us. It's so wonderful of him. Well, you wrote that two of your favorite words in the Bible are but God, but God stories. And I'd love to hear a couple of your but God stories.
Well, I think that the reason that those two words are my favorite is, you know, it really defines our lives, doesn't it?
Mm.
If you think about before you met Christ, you had this particular life, but God intervened and saved you from it and saved you from where you were heading and took you to a new place. I was born in Eastern North Carolina. I know with this accent, you probably thought I was from New York or something, but Eastern North Carolina. And I was raised in a nice neighborhood, beautiful home. Father was pretty successful, but there was a secret behind the door of that home, and the secret was that my father had a terrible drinking problem. And when my father would drink, he would get very drunk. He would get violent. He would hit my mom. There's a lot of physical abuse in my home, a lot of yelling, screaming, fighting. And I can remember going to bed at night, Susie, and just pulling up those covers and praying that I could go to sleep to shut the noise out of what was going on in that next room. Just grew up terrified, felt like I lived on an earthquake fault line and never knew when that big one was going to hit, and there were lots of big ones. And see, here it comes, but God didn't leave me that way. There was a woman in my neighborhood when I was about 12 years old. She took me under her wing, and I began spending a lot of time at her house. She was one of my friend's mothers, and she began to tell me about Jesus. And one of my big dreams in life was to have a daddy who loved me. And I was afraid of my father, but I saw how my friends would crawl up in their daddy's laps or how their fathers would kiss their little girls on the cheek, and I wanted that. And Mrs. Henderson began to tell me that I did have a heavenly father who loved me, told me about Jesus and all that he'd done for me by giving me his life for me so that I could have not only just eternal life, but also abundant life here on earth. And for 2 years, she mentored me, and I began going to church with them. And honestly, Susie, I thought she was a little odd because she talked about Jesus like she knew him personally. And that was very strange to me because, you see, we went to church on Sunday. As bad as we were, all the horrible things that happened in my home, we went to church on Sunday. A lot of times they would argue all the way, and we'd walk in the door. People say, how are you today? And what did we say? Just fine. Mm-hmm. But we weren't fine. And I imagine a lot of people in that church weren't fine. But when I started going to church with the Hendersons, I began to see something very different. These people, a lot of people talked about Jesus like they knew him personally. And I began to see that there's a big difference between having a religion in your life and having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm, so good. Well, I want to let Karina on the line. She's calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Can't believe that, Karina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Susie.
Hey, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I met Karina at an event in, was it Louisiana?
Yes.
Yeah, so good to talk with you, honey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Hanging in there.
Yep, and the weather's not so great?
No, just had a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. That was an understatement, sorry. So tell us about your glory moment, how God revealed himself to you.
Okay, well, it was last week, and they shut down the interstate in Baton Rouge because there was this big 18-wheeler accident with an oil spill. So it took me 2 hours to get to work. I was okay because I had extended worship in my car. And then I was leaving work later that day, still in traffic, and then my car died. And so I prayed, God, just start my car and let me get it somewhere. So it started. I got it to a repair shop. They changed my battery. So I'm thinking, okay, we're good. And now, thank you, Jesus. Okay, later that day, I go to church, and then after church, I go and work out. I'm leaving the gym, and my car has a flat tire.
Hmm.
It was a really big nail. And so this random guy changed it. Then I told my friend about it, and she's like, hey, I'm going to pay to get your tire patched the next day. So, I mean, my first reaction in all of those things is the normal, like, I freak out, and I start crying, and I'm just like, okay, God, what are you doing? You know, but that whole day, like, that wasn't my reaction. I just really felt like God was just holding me in his peace. And, you know, my first instinct is normally to freak out, but that day it wasn't. And I just felt like he was showing me also that I had grown.
Hmm. Well, Karina, there's so much backstory that people don't know, and so that is so big when you think of the things you've been walking through and enduring and desires of your heart that you're still waiting on. To have those things all happen at once would be a reason to feel like you could freak out. So I just bless you, girl, for, you know, embracing the grace and letting God meet you there. And you get a copy of Sharon's book, so thank you so much for your call today.
Yay!
Sharon, did you want to say a word to Karina?
Karina, I'm just thinking about how many times God has spoken to me through being in the car. I mean, it's just amazing. And I think, you know, we spend so much time in the car these days. It is a great time for God to speak to us. But as you were telling the stories of those two things that happened to you, all I kept thinking in my mind is, man, God just provided for her and provided for her and provided for her. So even though our tendency is to look at something and see this bad thing happen, it's such a wonderful thing to tell the story and say, but God did this. This is the good that came out of that. And, I mean, isn't that awesome that there was somebody there to change your tire and somebody there to pay for it? And God was just sending you love note, girl.
Mm, love it. Thanks, Karina. And that's what I want to hear from you. Maybe you have a but God story. It should have gone this way, but God intervened. We would love to hear your testimony, your story today. Got a couple more copies of Sharon's book to give away. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So talk to the person. You've got about 3 minutes before we need to take a short break. But talk to the person who says, I don't know what God's presence feels like, and how do I encounter a living God?
Well, I think we need to make sure that we're not relying on our feelings, for mm-hmm. one thing. You know, going back through and thinking of how many times I've heard people say, I don't feel close to God. You know, if in him we live and move and have our being is true, and it is, then he is right there, whether we feel it or not. And you know what? There's some times that I feel closer to my husband than other times, but it doesn't mean I'm less married. I mean, he is still here. He is still my husband. And the way that we experience God's presence is, number one, we've got to acknowledge him. And when we acknowledge him, when we acknowledge his presence, yes, we do it in the morning, and a quiet time is great. We have devotion time. But then just acknowledging him all day long, you know, no matter what you're doing. Make sure that you acknowledge God's presence in your daily activity and erase those lines that separate your secular life from your spiritual life. And when you do that, and all of life becomes a steady stream of worship, no matter what you're doing or where you are. And be paying attention, because he is going to speak to you. It's not a matter if he's going to speak or not. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I speak to my sheep. They hear my voice. They know my voice. So it's not a matter of if he's speaking. It's a matter of if we're going to recognize him.
You're really saying add expectancy to your life and to your day, aren't you?
Expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles.
Mm. So when was the last time you had a God moment or an aha moment where you just knew he was touching your heart and speaking to you?
You know, I try to take every day to write down something that where God has spoken to me. I think this morning, just sitting down with my Bible, and I was sitting out on the porch, and I happened to live on a lake, and I'm just reading the Psalms and feeling like God was just speaking to me through the Psalms as I was reading this morning.
So wonderful.
Reading it as a love letter, not just reading it to check off my quiet time, my to-do list, but reading it as God's words to me.
Same with me. I don't live on a lake, but our lot backs up to woods, and the sun comes through in the morning like a cathedral. I mean, just these rays of sun just shoot through, and I sit out there on my deck with my pit bull and my coffee and my candle, and I can't even tell you how every single day something happens in the Word and our time. It's just so sacred. I don't know how people do it without camping long in his presence. Talking to Sharon James today about her book, A Sudden Glory, God's Lavish Response to Your Ache for Something More. When was the last time you experienced God? You encountered him. He touched your heart in a special way. I'd love to hear from you. We've got a couple copies left to give away and other books off the Faith Radio shelf. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. More with Sharon James in just a moment. Christy Knuckles, You Revive Me, and that song is for you, Karina. Thanks for showing me that song. What a worshipful, powerful song. If you need to encounter God, wake up tomorrow morning, sit out on your deck or out in your backyard where that sun comes up, get some coffee if you drink it, open your Bible, and put this song on and just listen to the Lord. Let him revive your heart. He really does reward those who earnestly seek after him. Well, I'm talking to Sharon James today. We're talking about those sudden moments of glory where God speaks to our heart, where he meets us. And I want to hear about the last time you encountered God, where maybe it was just that inner nudge, make the call, write the note, or a verse just jumped off the page. I'd love to hear from you. Everybody who calls and gets on the air today gets a book. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484. We've got Shannon calling from Albertville. Shannon, you're on the air with Sharon and me, Susie. Nice to have you here.
Hi. Thanks. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Okay, well, here's my little story. It happened a few years ago, and I'll just never forget it. I got stuck in a car wash, and I'm claustrophobic, so it was really frightening. And but while I was in there, my favorite soothing song came on the radio. And I was just thanking God for that. And then once I was able to get out of the car wash, I was driving, and I was looking to the sky and praying and thanking him. And in my prayer, I was just saying, thank you that I can look up to your heavens and your sky, and thank you for bringing me that comfort. And he said, but I was with you. I was in the car with you. And I'll never forget that. It was so, so real.
Shan, you know what's so powerful about the Lord and the way he just walks with us is he doesn't mock us for our fears. He gets right into those places of our fears and says, I'm right here. I think that is so powerful. Sharon, did you want to say something to Shannon?
Shannon, I had a little girl one time. I was teaching Sunday school, and it was a group of four-year-olds, and I was teaching them the story about the disciples caught in the sea, and I was trying to paint a picture of them in this little boat, and that the thunder was so loud, and the lightning was so bright, and the waves were really big. And I said, now, if you were in a big storm like this in a little teeny boat, would you be afraid? And then this one little girl, she said, huh, not if Jesus was in the boat with me. And I thought that was so good. And that picture has always stuck in my mind. I mean, she was the teacher that day, not me for sure. But Same thing. Jesus was in that boat. Jesus was in the car with you. And I think it's interesting, Shannon, that both you and Karina, who called in earlier, both had God moments in the car.
Yeah.
We spent so much time in the car. What a great place to have a God moment.
Yeah. And maybe you've had a God moment. Maybe your child spoke to you, you know, and it was just a word in due season. Out of the mouth of babes. I'd sure love to hear your story. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. You had you told a funny story in the book, Sharon, about a time you were talking with your hubby about romance. And it was like, it was kind of like one of those who's on first kind of conversations a little bit. So tell us about that.
Well, I was writing about God's passionate pursuit of our heart, and I was thinking about romance and what romance was, and we were driving along, and I said, you know, Steve, I heard one woman say that her definition of romance was the feeling of being continually pursued. What do you think about that? He said, well, I don't think that's very practical. I mean, you can't continually pursue something. I mean, you pursue something in order to catch it, but at some point it has to be caught. And I said, well, I think that's part of the problem in marriages, that the guy pursues the wife, and then he catches her, and then he stops pursuing her. But romance for us is the feeling of continuing to be pursued. And he said, but that's not practical, because you continue something to be called. At some point, she's got to say yes. And we kind of went back and forth and back and forth like that, and I'm thinking, you just don't get it. Then I thought, but you know what God does?
Yeah.
God gets it, and he, even though he pursues us and we come to Christ and we say yes to him, he continues to pursue us. He pursues us every day. As you talked about getting up every morning and seeing that sun come through the trees in your backyard, God is pursuing us. He is pursuing our heart.
Yeah, and you know, it's so – I'm sorry. I thought you were done there. But I was just going to say, it's you know, this is not a male statement, but men, you know, are compartmentalized and they're task oriented often. And so it's easy to check off, okay, won the woman, go do the job now, you know, conquer the corporate world, whatever. And I don't mean that in a, you know, derogatory way, but I guess it sounded that way. But, you know, we do that even in salvation. Sometimes we check it off. We pray the prayer of salvation. We check off the box and we don't even consider that God is wooing us or that he wants us to run hard after him. And so it is such a beautiful picture of an ongoing relationship. I love that. All right. We see some calls coming in. We want to hear about your glory moment, about a moment when God and you, when you encountered each other and he spoke to your heart. We'd love to hear it. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. We've got Lauren calling from Wayzata. Welcome, Lauren.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Tell us when you've encountered God recently.
Well, I just was thinking, I encounter him constantly, but I go running all the time, and that's when I really hear from him the most, which I'm grateful for, because then it keeps me in shape. So I run out to hear from God. But I was running the other day, and I felt him telling me that I had so many things going wrong at work and at home, and just life felt like it was crumbling around me, and he was telling me that you're trapped in fear, that I couldn't get over any of these mountains because I couldn't even set out to hit the task in front of me because I was, like, trapped in fear that I wouldn't finish it. And he just pointed out, when you're running, he set me on a new course, too, because there was road construction. So when I was running, I didn't know my path that I was going to take and come home. And he said, see, Lauren, right now you don't know how long it's going to take you to get home, but you're not fearful. You know you're going to make it. So because I know how it is to run and get to the finish line, he said, you don't fear not finishing that run. So don't fear not finishing your task that you're faced with today. I'll be with you. I'm with you always, and I'll help you get through it. And it just lifted my burden of fear of not conquering all the tasks that I had in front of me.
You know,
so I just felt blessed.
I love about that, Lauren, and Sharon, I want you to chime into this too, is so often God will speak to us in a language, well, he does speak to us in a language we understand. You know, he speaks to gardeners using the metaphors of seeds and soil. And, you know, like he wouldn't speak to me about cooking because I would have no idea what he's talking about. But you even say that, Sharon, in the book about he speaks in a voice that's unique to us. Say a word about that. And Lauren, thank you for your call, by the way. It's great.
Mm. And I love that that it was construction that made you go a different path. And I think about so many times God is doing construction in our lives. And he puts up one of those orange cones and says, you know, I'm about ready to do a work in your life, and you have to go down a different path. And I think when we get off of the familiar, we get off of that routine rut that we've dug in our lives, and we have to go a different way, then I think we can hear him better.
So good.
I think that's what he did with you. Took you. There was construction not only on the road but in your heart, and he took you down a different path so you could hear him better.
But he used the language that she understood, the parallel of running. I think it's so beautiful. Wonderful. I see those calls coming in, 877-933-2484. We've got Diana calling from Fargo. Diana, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. So how have you recently encountered God?
I always take pictures of sunrises and sunsets, and I always find God in those.
Me too. I have more pictures on my phone of sunrises than almost anything. What do you say, Sharon? You want to talk to Diana?
And I have sunsets. I just love sunsets, and I think that it's just a little glimpse of heaven. It just is.
It so is.
And I so appreciate it. I mean, God didn't have to make that beautiful, but he certainly did it just for us.
So wonderful. Gretchen's calling from Madison. I'd love to hear from you. Gretchen, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. And, this is really speaking to me, and I had to laugh when I heard this was the topic because every morning my husband and I, we pray for the day and for each other, and we also include in our prayers that God will surprise us and give us a glimpse of himself.
Love that.
To give us confirmation of how we live with him. And so what happened recently was my husband and I are both bikers, and he was training for a ride, and so we were out in the middle of nowhere, actually camping in another part of the state, looking at maps, got a little bit turned around in the middle of a cornfield on a, you know, country road, and we make a turn, and there, in the middle of the road, is my son's name, Pat, P-A-T, written in tar in the middle of this country road. And we're like, really? Really, that's who we were training to do the ride for, my son Patrick. And so we took a picture of it, and we're like, well, you know, we're standing there in the middle of this vacant field and country road and just praising him and saying, really? You talk to us right in the middle of a country road, meeting us right where we are when we're tired, we're lost. We just needed a little confirmation here that we're training for a good purpose, and so I just love that.
He
speaks right to us right where we were.
Cool story. Right. Sharon? Go ahead, Sharon.
Can you tell us a little bit about Pat?
Sure. I'll always take an opportunity, especially on radio. So he has a very rare disease called FOP. Fibrodysplasia ossificans progressiva. There are 700 people known in the world to have it. It's a 1 in 2 million chance. And Pat is 30 years old now, and he's done very well. We're very close to getting some clinical trials done for medications, long story. But my husband had it in his heart. He goes, I can't do much to help Pat, but I can ride a bike, and so I want to do an epic ride. So he decided to ride 400 miles across the state of Wisconsin solo, and I sagged him, and we raised over $10,000 for the disease. But along the way, we were able to hand out flyers and share with everyone about the disease some of the symptoms. So anyway, it was just a real opportunity to see the heart of people and how God used this to encourage us, to encourage Pat, and just for his glory.
Yeah, beautiful.
But, would you mind telling me Pat's last name?
Sure.
P-O-E-R-I.
I would love for you to. Thank you.
What is his last name?
Door.
Is it Door?
Yes.
Okay, like a D-O-O-R?
It's D-O-E-R-R.
D-O-E-R-R, Pat
yes,
Doerr.
Yes, pronounced Doerr.
Great. Mm-hmm. Gretchen, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for that. God bless you. All right, we've got time for probably just a few more calls, 877-933-2484. How are you experiencing God these days? Have you had a God encounter, a glory moment where you just knew God is speaking to me, he's guiding me, he's confirming something in me? We'd sure love to hear. 877-933-2484. We've got Penny calling from Andover. Penny, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Talk to us.
I have a story about when you were saying, but God. Mm. It's so powerful. We had a trip to Africa this summer, and I was going to be speaking on how we have to change our thoughts of fear and trade them for God's thoughts that are truth in our minds, and then, you know, really think on that. So then we begin on this trip, and all of a sudden we have one problem after another. I'll skip a bunch of them, but we get there and we have no luggage. And what was in our luggage was a bunch of water filters for pastors out in villages that they could take to their villages and use. It cleans a million gallons of water. And our luggage didn't arrive. And, you know, there you go. And I just felt God saying to me, you have to practice what you preach. Hmm. And so I'm really... you know, and we all are, there were three of us, just really trusting the Lord. And on the morning that these pastors had to leave and go back to their villages, a taxi shows up in a village outside of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and brings us our luggage, which had gone to London instead of to Dar or to Zurich, which was our route. And there they were.
Wow.
We got to give them the information they needed, the instruction they needed, and they took them out into the villages. So, but God can do it far above what we can even anticipate. We thought we had to go in to the airport and get them and bring them out. Nope, he did it all.
Mm. Wow, Penny. Thank you so much, Penny, for your call and your testimony. We'll make sure you get a copy of, if we run out of Sharon's books, we'll get you another one from our Faith Radio shelf. And Sharon, did you want to say a word to Penny?
Yeah, when I hear that word fear, I think of, it stands for false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, God really showed up in that taxi cab. That's amazing.
Don't you feel sometimes that when people are willing to take steps of faith and even position themselves in places of risk as God leads, you know, going on a mission trip, taking a big risk with a, you know, job or whatever, that's sometimes when you see some of the greatest glory moments, because you're putting yourself in a position to have to trust God. What do you think about that?
You have to. And I think there's also a little bit of spiritual warfare going on in those situations. And you can feel it, you can tell it, and it sounds like there was probably some of that going on, and there was probably people praying for them. They were praying, I'm sure people back home were probably praying, but God came through, and how cool that it was water, that, you know, we think of living water. God showed up just in time, and isn't that the way he tends to do things, just in time, in such a way that you know it's only him. It's no other way it could have possibly happened to get it from London to there. It had to be him.
So good. Well, I want to talk for a moment about some of the ways God does reveal himself, some of the avenues, because you address these in the book. Sudden glory moments through the word. Talk just a word about that, about when we read the word, how he can reveal himself and we can encounter him there.
I think that, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because I can tell just from talking to you these few minutes, but I'm sure this has happened to you when you're sitting down and you read the word and something jumps out at you and you think, who put that in there?
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody just wrote that in there because I have read that before and I've never seen it. And that is God revealing something to you that maybe you've read 100 times and it's never jumped out at you. Let me give you an example. I was reading the story of Jesus' resurrection one day. And I just put myself in the scene, and I was not just reading the words, but really forming that picture of what was going on in my mind. And I was in that room with the disciples when Jesus walked in, and I was visualizing Jesus walking in that room. I'm the resurrected Jesus, and he walks in the room, and he shows the disciple his hands, and he shows his scar. And what I began to see when Jesus walked in that room, they didn't really know who he was. Until he held out his hand and they saw the scar. And he pulled up his tunic, and they saw his scar. Once they saw the scar, they knew it was Jesus. And then God began to speak to my heart and just reveal to me through his word that they recognized Jesus when they saw his scar, and that's still how they recognize Jesus today when we're not ashamed to show our scars.
Mm.
Because, you see, Jesus didn't have to keep those scars, did he? I mean, he had made the blind to see, the lame to walk. He'd put fresh skin on a leper's hand. He certainly didn't have to keep the scar. But he kept those scars because, number one, they were precious to him. But, number two, that's how people would know who he was.
And that brings up a really great point, that other people are going to encounter the glory of God through us as we are willing to be transformed into his likeness and be conduits of his grace, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and many times it is through the scars in our lives.
That's so true.
And a scar, is, by its very nature, means something has healed.
Hmm.
So you've had a wound. God has healed it. That's his job. Now our job is to tell people about what God has done in our lives.
Wow, that's excellent. Okay, sudden glory moments through prayer. We're running out of time here, but I want to just touch on each of these. And this is one where, boy, we get to pray. It's such a powerful thing. Say a word.
We get to pray. Mm. I was actually reading scripture one day, and I was stopped, and I was praying for my son, and I was saying, Lord, just please be with Stephen today. Please be with Stephen today. And God just stopped me and said, what do you mean be with Stephen today? Why do you keep asking me that? I am with Stephen. I'm with him just as I am with you every day. And so through prayer, God was showing me to change the way I was praying.
Yep.
And now I pray for him every day, for my son. Lord, I pray that Stephen will recognize your presence in his life today.
Mm.
Spoke to me in prayer about how I was praying.
Excellent. Sudden glory moments through circumstances.
Well, that happens almost daily, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Something will happen in your life, and you think, that was really God. I was at a doctor's office. I was waiting, and I was really getting irritable, honestly, because I had been waiting almost an hour and gone from one room to the next reading old magazines, and the doctor came in, and he was a friend of mine, and I think I was probably the ice queen at that moment. He walked in the room, not very friendly, and he said to me, I'm sorry, I kept you waiting. I was in the next room telling a woman she had cancer and she's probably going to die.
Mm.
And boy, God spoke to me in that circumstance. Here I was worried about my little to-do list, and instead there was a woman in the next room thinking about how she was going to spend her last days.
Mm.
And I needed to take every day as a precious gift from him and think about how I'm going to live life well.
So beautiful.
Check off my to-do list.
And how often those circumstances are game-changing moments for us, because we have such a bent towards our own selfishness. And you just love him for, you know, lifting our chin. Okay, sudden glory moments through creation. We've touched on this a little bit, but say more.
Oh, let me tell you one of my favorites. I was out on vacation with some friends, and I had not had my normal times with the Lord alone in the morning. So I got up really early by myself. It was dark, got my coffee, my Bible, went into the den of the place we were staying, and it was a sliding glass door that opened over, and you could see the ocean. And so the sun started coming up, and I had my Bible just plopped open to right in the middle, Psalm 67, and there was a verse in that said that, God, may your face shine upon us. So I read it, took a sip of coffee, and I thought, that's a nice verse. And just kind of watching the sun come up, and Susie, there were two holes in the clouds, like just two holes, and the sun started shining through those holes like headlights on high beams. And then I continued to watch as the sun kept coming up, and right underneath those two high beams headlights in the sky, there was a little crescent. And I'll tell you, it was a smiley face. And I just got tickled, and I thought, Lord, it is not enough that I opened my Bible today and it said that you will make your face shine upon me, but you wrote it in the sky for me as well. So I had the verse in my lap, and I watched as God painted that picture of his face shining on me that morning when I got alone with him.
So
that
beautiful.
Was a story about it.
Oh, I love that. Those sun sets and sun rises take my breath away. The final one is sudden glory moments through people. And I'm going to tell you a quick story, and then I'll have you share one as well. But I remember our kids are grown now, but when they were little, we were having a small group at our house, and our three boys were downstairs. And right in the middle of a sentence, somebody was actually looking at my husband, telling his story, telling all of us, but looking at my husband. Right mid-sentence, my husband rudely gets up. He's not a rude man, but he gets up and runs downstairs. And what had happened, the Holy Spirit said, go get him. And Lord, it put our youngest son, Jordan, in his mind. And Jordan was just a toddler at the time. At that moment, had picked up one of these big glass jugs that was like a sailor jug that we had pennies in. And he dropped it, and the top part of the glass broke off, and Jordan was going face down. So his heart and his stomach and his face would have been cut by this jagged bottle. And Kev literally went downstairs, grabbed the back of his pajamas, and caught him, I mean, millimeters from this glass and saved him. And it was absolutely amazing to me. And talk to us about those glory moments. I mean, that you can have different moments where God uses people, but what comes to your mind?
Well, I think, my son was about, he was just about to turn six. And we had been praying for years for another child. And it just wasn't going to happen. The doctors said it probably won't happen. But when Stephen was about almost two, we told him that we were praying that God would give him another brother or sister. So every night when we would do our devotions together, Stephen would say at the end of the prayer, and God, please give Mommy and Daddy another Jane's baby. That's what we called it. So here he is about to turn six, and I thought, Lord, you know, if this isn't going to happen, how am I going to tell a child to stop praying a prayer? I mean, I was going to have, God, you're going to have to take care of this. Stephen looked up at me one day during lunch. We were having our peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he said, Mommy, this is out of the clear blue. He said, have you ever thought maybe God only wants you to have one Jane's baby? And I said, well, yes, I have thought that. And if that's the case, he gave me everything I wanted when he gave me you. And then he looked up at me and said, well, what I think we ought to do, don't you love that? what I think we ought to do is to pray until you're too old to have one. And then we'll know that was his answer.
Oh.
And, you know, he had no idea how old too old was. I mean, he knew Sarah had a baby when she was 90.
Right.
But the thing is that God began to show me through this child that I didn't have to worry about Stephen's faith because of this prayer. You know whose faith I needed to worry about? It was my own faith. I was the one struggling with God saying no to me. But God began to speak to me through this child, the trust that I need to have from my Heavenly Father, because I told Stephen no many times, and no to him did not mean no because I don't love you. It meant no because I'm your parent, and I know what's best for you. You might not ever understand it, but you've got to trust me. And God spoke to me through that little boy that God was saying to me, I am your parent, and you need to trust me whether you understand it or not.
Beautiful story, Sharon. Thanks so much. Well, the time went by so quickly, and thanks for your calls today. It was great to hear your testimonies. Love that. Well, someone's listening today, Sharon, who longs for a fresh encounter with God, who's listening to you going, okay, I've never felt that, or I rarely encounter God that way. Will you pray for that person?
Yes. Lord, I thank you so much for this radio program and for the people that are listening. Lord, I pray for that person now that's listening that's saying, I want that. I want something more in my life. Maybe there's someone who's going to church. They're reading their Bible, but they're just not hearing from you. What I pray right now that for these people that are seeking you, that one person that is seeking you, that you will make yourself real to them, make your presence real to them. And now for that person, Lord, I pray that you will help them to pay attention, to sense your presence, to turn aside as Moses did when he saw the burning bush. Make it very real to that person. And when it happens, Lord, I pray that he will know or she will know that it's you without a shadow of a doubt that they have had an encounter with the Holy God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sharon, thank you so much for your time today. We so appreciate it.
Thank you, Susie.
Title of the book again is A Sudden Glory, God's Lavish Response to Your Ache for Something More. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. I want you to tune in tomorrow for Live the Promise. I have one of my favorite guests. Guess who it is? It's you. You know, every once in a while we do a book talk. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about Beth Moore's book, what's it called, When Godly People Do Ungodly Things, Arming Yourself in the Age of Seduction. Just a really sobering but important conversation about how to arm ourselves so that we do not fall when many are walking away from the faith. That's tomorrow. I'm expecting to have you engage with me on that conversation. Really glad you tuned in today. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.